Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape. Christopher Hahn, General Director of Pittsburgh Opera. Thank you for being here with us on Berg Vivant.
Thank you for having me.
I've been trying to get you for a while.
Have you?
This is very exciting.
No one told me.
They
never tell me anything.
There's a pile of memos with the Berg Vivant logo.
Oh, that's what those were.
You've been using it for a doorstop.
Yeah, but you know,
this is exciting for me because when I picture a general director of an opera company, you're exactly what comes to mind. You have a delightful accent. You have a very charming demeanor.
Thank you.
So was there a long road to ascend to this lofty position, or did central casting send you?
You never want to scratch beneath the surface because terrible things come out from under it. No, I am who I am. I'm this guy who found himself working in the opera field, and I figured out early on that my calling was to tell other people what to do. So that gets into real trouble as you go up, and you have to keep on going up, try to get to the top, yeah. and then you get away with it. So that's why I do what I do, because actually the alternative is not so pretty.
So part of your job at Pittsburgh Opera is to choose the seasons.
Yeah. So in the opera world, general director is a sort of a title that we give the poor sod who actually has to do it all. So there are music directors and artistic directors and production directors, et cetera. But general director really is to encompass the whole brief for the entire works. So opera companies are very complex and complicated organisms, and so. Running one is actually quite challenging. There's a great deal of fundraising, there's a great deal of management of forces and marketing personnel, and then there's the artistic side. So sometimes leaders can have a separate person who does the artistic side. I started off that way, and so I bring that with me. It is a wonderfully fulfilling, incredibly stressful, exciting thing to do. And there are not so many of us out there, I think, like the white rhinos or something, yeah. put us out of our misery as soon as we emerge. Opera companies are scattered around the country and around the world. Obviously, for a city of our size, it's remarkable that we have an opera company of our stature.
Well, right. So I imagine you must be doing something right. I mean, aside from knowing exactly what glasses to wear. Very nice, by the way. I mean, to consider that there are cities bigger than Pittsburgh who are losing or have lost their opera companies.
Or never had one in the first place.
Right.
Exactly. So Pittsburgh should be justly proud, but one can never take anything for granted. The company is 78 years old. We're in our 78th season. Founded just beginning of the Second World War, went through thick and thin. But Pittsburgh, of course, is very welcoming to a wide range of cultural activity, despite its relative, its relative size. Mm-hmm. There were a number of people, obviously, early on who said, we want this city to have these things, and an opera company was one of them. So it had a slow beginning. And it's had some wonderful people leading it in the past. And so when I came along, I was fascinated to discover that Pittsburgh did have this great depth and vitality, and that I couldn't see everything I wanted to see, in 1 week, that there were too many things going on. Right. And that was sort of unusual. I'd lived in LA and San Francisco and London. So I'm sort of used to a lot of activity, and I was blown away by the amount of activity in Pittsburgh. So it's been my happy task to bring what I could to the local scene and to help the audience explore this great richness of opera. We're all inclined to think that opera is from the past,
right,
that it's dead, it's 300 years old, it's all about Italian 19th century dames, and it's actually so much more than that. And doing something like The Summer King, a world premiere, is an opportunity to reach out to the audience in a very different way and say, opera really is just great stories set to music, if you boil it down to its essence. And so obviously the range, the possibility is enormous. And that's really what I think Pittsburgh is good at. But Pittsburgh doesn't do well with preconceived ideas. It doesn't say, you can only do this, only that. It does allow us to breathe and say, okay, show us. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to show Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I've learned a great deal about opera through what Pittsburgh Opera has offered. I mean, because you're right, a lot of people just sort of assume, well, it's all, old. It's
Italian.
Those 10 Italian operas that everybody does over and over again. Yeah. But Pittsburgh Opera has done, some very modern pieces, too.
A lot.
I learned that there are people writing operas right now.
There are actually more people writing operas now than there were, I think, in the 19th century. So go figure. And of course, many of them are being written in English, in American idiom, about subject matter that we are really can connect with. Mm-hmm. We've done a number of, we did a Dead Man Walking, for instance, a very famous movie, film, but a fantastic opera. Grapes of Wrath, a great novel brought onto the stage in a particular sort of way. And then more esoteric things like Orfeu, Philip Glass's production, mm-hmm. Orfeu, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, opera is a very, very wide embrace.
And what is really incredible is that The Summer King, which will be the next opera performed by Pittsburgh Opera, opening April 29th, is a world premiere. And I believe it is the first world premiere that Pittsburgh Opera has hosted in 78 years. Is that true?
It is. And that's for a good reason. So putting on a world premiere for an opera company is not something you do lightly.
Right.
You spend a lot of time
once every 78 years, apparently.
Exactly. Because we've taken leave of our senses and we're going to do three in the next 5 years. Or maybe four. So the reason that we have come to the stage when it is appropriate is that the company has grown so wonderfully over the years. It's got all the great bones that you need to be able to then take this vast risk of a world premiere. We've got a great chorus, we've got a great orchestra, we've got a great production team, music staff, music director, staff. So you need all of those very good working parts to be able to sustain the stress levels of a world premiere. It is very tough. I mean, you have to identify the piece, you have to help develop the piece, and you have to then market it, fundraise for it, and then produce as good a possible rendition of this new work, which is very tough because however open-minded people are, the first time they see something, they're like, trying to get their sea legs, like, what is this? Where does this come from? The definition of a world premiere is that it's really new. You haven't heard it before. You don't know how to get your bearings. So that in itself is a challenge, and it's a challenge that the company needs to give itself and that it needs to give its audience. So we're basically on this ride together to say, come on, we're exploring this fantastic story, the mm-hmm. Josh Gibson story, with these fantastic elements. And we're going to create this unique thing that you lucky people in Pittsburgh are going to be the only people who have ever seen this in this 1 week. And then it's going to go on and have another life. And everyone can say, I was there, on the first night. Like, can you imagine being in the opening night of Bohème, La Bohème, or Turandot, like we just did, or Tosca?
Right.
And of course, the same thing would have happened. Like, ooh, what's this? Who's this Verdi guy? Who's mm-hmm. this Puccini guy? So we're actually living in that moment, and it's a very exciting one.
So what was it that stood out to you about this piece in particular that made you say, this is the show we are going to serve a world premiere of?
Right. Well, I knew that for Pittsburgh, we couldn't just come up with any old world premiere. We had to have something that sort of grabbed people by the throat. And in full disclosure, I'd never heard of Josh Gibson when I encountered this piece. So I'm a very cautious and disbelieving kind of person. So mm-hmm. I came back to Pittsburgh and I said, Josh Gibson, at everyone I could lay my hands on. And 99% of everyone knew exactly who he was, had a very strong opinion about him, kind of worshipped the ground he, walked on, et cetera, et cetera. And I kind of went, this name, this man, this story, it galvanizes people. This is the sort of piece that we need to do. And so I got into it more and more and more, and then sort of made the decision based on the fact that I felt that we couldn't do just some esoteric subject that some people might be interested in. That of the vast majority of the audience needed to say, you know, I had no idea. I want to learn more, and isn't opera a fantastic way to learn it?
And there's certainly a Pittsburgh connection, too, with Josh Gibson. I think he either practiced or played here.
He grew up here. He wasn't born here, but he grew up here. Yeah. He lived his life here. He played for not one, but two Negro Leagues baseball teams. Pittsburgh was the only place in the country with two teams. And he died very young at 35. Sadly got a brain tumor, and he was not Jackie Robinson. He missed by just a couple of months being named as the person who would historically break the color barrier. So there's a sort of epic, tragic proportions to his life, and the fact that overall he was this fantastic athlete. I mean, everybody who knows anything about baseball is willing to say that he was one of the greatest baseball players ever. Wow. Whether he was the first or the second, there's all this debate. Mm. And that's powerful stuff, because we know baseball is very much at the heart of what America thinks about itself, actually.
Yeah, well, we are going to be merging opera with sports here on April 29th.
And why not?
Well, right, well, look what the public did with The Chief. That ran for several...
Totally. If I could run as many performances as The Chief, I'd be in gravy.
It's possible. I wish you all the best with that. I will be there on April 29th.
That would bankrupt us.
Yeah. bankrupt us. April 29th, May 2nd, 5th, and 7th, the Summer King world premiere at Pittsburgh Opera. We are very much looking forward to seeing it. Thank you, Christopher, and cheers to you.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Thank you. Cheers to that.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.